chapter number 4 and verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Father, we pray today that you would enable us and empower us, Lord, to be able to preach and proclaim truth today, not according to my own ability, my own efforts, Lord, but by grace to fulfill the calling you gave us before the foundation of the world. Help us to be a vessel of honor that we could preach and bring forth your word and give everyone that's in this building the truth that you've laid upon our heart. Lord, it is a somber, it is a serious truth, but it is a celebratory truth. And I pray, Lord, that we gather around it with open hearts. That we, Lord, be encouraged and helped and leave out of here saying it's been good to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the words that's already been sung and the things that's already been said. We trust and pray. You bind every force, including our old flesh. And Lord, allow us, Lord, to be your vessel. In Jesus' name, save the sinner and touch the saint. Get glory out of everything that goes on. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord would help me for a little while this morning. I want to preach on the thought or ask a question by way of title. What is your life? If you were to write a essay, a 2,000-word essay, short story, to describe what your life is. Some of you would say, my name is Corley Shane Jackson. I've been born in May 17th, 1972. I was born to Benny and Judy. Yeah, that may be how you start. Some would say, I'm a mother of four. I'm a mother of five. But what is your life? Not just as mankind sees it, but what is your life as God would see it? In James, in chapter number 1, in verse number 2, we find the word, my brethren. In verse number 16, we find, do not err, my beloved brethren. In verse number 19 of the same chapter, chapter number 1, we'll find the word brethren. And so on until 15 times minimum that James is talking to believers. He's talking to men and women who have been saved. He's not talking to sinners. The book's not written as a majority to lost people. The Bible is written as a whole to the people of God. James, in particular, is talking to believers. He said, some of you say you have faith. He said, show me your faith. He's not talking to sinners. Sinners don't have faith. He's talking to believers. So when we reference this verse today, that most people, including me in the past, there is an application to sinners. But he's writing specifically to believers in the context of the scripture. What is your life? What is your life? He asked that question to believers. He's asking that question to you and me. 1 John 5 and verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life. So what is your life? He's talking to them that hath life, them that's been born again. John 5, 24, the Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So he's talking to us that have life. You say, preacher, I'm lost. Then you could literally say, get a life. We that are saved have life. We've been given life. It's not something we earn. I, for one, I know for sure I don't deserve life. But we've been given life. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but by grace, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. And God gave us everything to leave darkness and come to light. Therefore, we, as children of the light, we have life. We're believers. We've been born again. So Jesus can give a life. He is the giver of life. He said, I am the resurrection and life. But he gives a wonderful life. And it's not just a movie you watch on Christmas. It is a wonderful life. In John 10, 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life. John 10, 10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In other words, an exciting, abundant life. That's what he's given us. Thank God for an emancipated life. John 8, 34, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We have an exciting life. We have an emancipated life. And no matter what I do, no matter where I go, no matter what I say, no matter how far short I come, I have at least three guarantees. Number one, I'll never be abandoned. He'll never leave me. Amen. I'll never be alone. He promised us, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It dawned on me this morning. Have you ever thought about it? That is a promise that sounds good backwards or forwards. Let me try. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. Amen. It sounds good either way you read it. I will never leave thee. I'm never going to be abandoned. I'm never going to be alone. I'll never be alienated from my family. Not from the family of God. We have a life. God, we got a life. God gave us life. It's an abundant life, exciting life, an emancipated life. A life, thank God, that we can enjoy. So in the context, he's writing to people who have life. So we have life. We have a transformed character. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, adverb of condition, if preposition. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things become. We have a transformed life. Now, I'm not saying things of the past life won't creep back into your life. They can creep back in your life, but they don't have to creep back in your life. They have no control over you. The only control they'll have over you is what you give them. They cannot dominate you. Acts chapter 9, verse number 3. Remember Paul, he's religious. He's righteous concerning the law. He said, a Benjamite, a Jew of Jews. He says, concerning the law, he said he was blameless. But everything that he was, he counted dung that he might win Christ. Paul, that day on the road to Damascus, when the light showed up as brighter than a noonday sun, knocked him off his high horse, literally. And he fell down on his face. And he realized he didn't have everything that he had. You say, preacher, what happened to that? He got exposure to the S-O-N. Amen. Knocked him off his high horse. Notice in our text today, there is a transformed life, this new creature life. And what he says, he said in our text, what is your life? It is even a vapor. Vapor is water that's been changed from liquid to gas. Would y'all, everybody agree with that? Water, I hope we agree with that. Water is a liquid that's been changed to a gas. Would y'all say amen? Man, y'all making me nervous. We need to go back and do science class. What happened that changed the liquid to a gas? It was transformed by the sun. Amen. There was an exposure, an outside force caused the water has no power to change itself. It takes an outside source to change the water. Liquid has become vapor. What is your life? Those brethren, born again, those that have life,
There's been a transformation. An outside influence, amen, has impacted our life and took us from low living to high soaring. Say amen. There's been a divine transformation. It's been achieved by a higher power. There has been a drawing of that sun. Amen. Boy, I feel like running. Amen. That sun, S-U-N, draws that water. Just like the S-O-N drew us from the mud hole that we were in. Amen. The water cannot lift itself. We could not lift ourselves. But glory to God, the sun changed us. It drew us. It brought us out. There's a divine transformation. There's a distinct transformation. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We've been lifted to a higher plane. Water always seeks the lower source. You can put water on a cement pad, it'll always find the imperfection and go to the low source. Water always seeks the low source. That's why when it rains in Asheville, Hendersonville gets flooded. That's why when Hendersonville gets flooded, we get flooded down here in the foothills, because water always seeks the lower source. It runs down and down and down and heads to the lowest point. But when liquid becomes gas, hey man, it seeks the highest plane. It's lifted above what it used to be. I say glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our attitude has changed. Our actions have changed. Our affections have changed. Set your affections on things above. Why? Because your life is a vapor. It used to be low living. Used to seek the lowest hole. Get in the worst of condition, hang with the wickedest of people, do the wickedest of things. But when the sun, amen, drove you, and the sun brought you out of that mud hole, you now soar to higher places. You're not comfortable around the mud holes, or if you are, something's wrong. How long? Used to think, how long can we get away with doing something? Y'all know I'm right. But now we're thinking, Lord, how high can I soar with you? Amen. I don't want to hang around down in this apparel and actions and attitude that all those in low living, low lying places. I hate to bring it up, but it's the truth. I don't know if it's Garth Brooks or one of them boys. I got friends in low places. That's the truth. But now that we say we got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother, and he's in a high and lifted place. Somebody ought to say amen. We've had a divine transformation. Your life is a vapor. It's a distinct transformation. It's a delightful transformation. Amen. You ever watched anybody go over to a mud hole and say, "Whoa, boy, that's a good looking mud hole. Man, thank God for the mud hole. I want to get my truck in the mud hole and get the mud hole all over my pretty truck. Ah, boy, I like that mud hole." I ain't never seen nobody shout about a mud hole. But when the sun draws that water out of that mud hole, when the sun purifies that water, when it draws it out of that mud hole, I've heard a lot of people say, "Man, thank God, look at them beautiful clouds." Well, isn't it the same thing, the same elements in the mud hole that's in the clouds? But the clouds give us shade, and the clouds give us showers, and the clouds show us shapes. And amen, I've seen people say, "Man, them clouds are beautiful today." But I ain't never seen nobody say, "Ah, boy, that mud hole sure does. That looks inviting." Now, I will say this. When my boys was about 5 and 6 years old, you'd think they love mud holes, because they would be muddy from head to toe. But the good news is, when we got saved, when God brought us out, the same element that was muddy and dirty and filthy and nobody wanted, now they say, "Woo, hey man, it's going to bring life. Thank God for them clouds. Hallelujah for some shade. Thank God for them shapes up there." God has given us some, let us be some beautiful things in the air instead of hanging out in the mud holes of this world. What is your life? I hope it's a transformed life. But as sure as we've got a transformed character, there is going to be a life of temptation. The brevity of life. Notice what he said. He says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The truth is, it is temporary continuance. There is a brevity. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Now, and I'll say it from the pulpit. She's heard me say it enough. I think my wife looks better now than she did the day we got married. I know she does. I can prove it to you with pictures. But most of us, if we go back and look at our annuals, we'll see that we had more hair and less of it gray, and there was less wrinkles. The brevity of life is really revealed when you look at them high school manuals, and everybody ought to say amen. Some of you burnt yours because you don't want to be reminded. Amen. It's a race. Life is a race. Life moves at a, another word, run this race. This race, you know why? Because life runs at a fast pace. It is all, and y'all have to admit, it's like a competition a lot of times. Amen, preacher. It's us competing with everybody else, or us competing with self, or us trying to get away from our past. But there is a, it is a race. It moves at a fast pace. Amen. Oh my, don't go home and look at your manuals, or annuals. You'll come back all depressed and discouraged. There's a reality of a brevity of life. It don't matter if you're little or you're big, it's swiftly gone. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. Matter of fact, the brevity of life is compared to a lot of things in the Bible. I'll remind you of just a few. It's compared to a weaver's shuttle. In Job chapter 7 and verse 6, here's what it says. He said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I don't know if y'all have ever been in a mill, ever been in a place where you could see a weaver's shuttle. I can't even move my hand. Bruce Lee probably can't move his hands. Well, that might be one exception. Most people can't move their hands as quick as a weaver's shuttle. It's almost beyond comprehension. That thing moves real quick. And Job said, he said, my days, if I were to try to see my days, they're moving faster than a weaver's shuttle. And Psalms 90, verse number 9, is what he says. There's what the psalmist said. He said, my life's like a story. Spent years, he said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Now, you've got books. I've got books at the house. I don't know how many I have. Let's just say, conservatively, 4,000. And if I were to go and look at that library, there are different books, and I don't know, let's say 3,000. If I were to go look at them books, it'd be different colors and different shapes, little books and thin books and thick books. And you could go to the library up here, they'd be all sizes of books and all stories inside of those books. But every single one has the end. Every single one has a last page. There's an end to every story. And the psalmist is saying, it don't matter how attractive they are, it doesn't matter what color the book is, it didn't matter how big or small it is. He said, one day, the last page, one day, there's going to be no additions. One day, there's going to be no addendum. One day, there's going to be no extension. One day, it's it. The book's going to be closed. So what is your life? It is even a vapor. You're writing your story every single day. What you say, what you do, the people you hang around, what you put most important, you're writing your story. I'm writing my story every single day. Oh God, help us to realize it's a weaver shuttle. We can't get days back. I wished I could make my boys 5 years old again. I'd make them all five. Them's fun years. I'd get them all back and roll them up and play around with them again. Hey, man, boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? But now I get to live through my grandbabies. Hey, no matter our life, they grow up so quick. Life changes so quick. Isn't it amazing? I'm thinking about Isabella. She couldn't even, she about ready to crawl last night. She about ready. I mean, I thought she was going to put her legs up last night. I look at little blue eyes, and I'm thinking to myself, man, she grows by lengths. I mean, that baby right now is about half as big as Jessica is, long. Life is quick. It's a vapor. You're writing your story. How many chapters you're going to have? What's going to be written in those chapters? It's going to be up to you. How you surrender or how you submit or how you walk in service to God. We have a reality of a brevity. We have a responsibility. See, there's an appointment coming. It's appointed unto man wants to die. There's no change in the appointment. There's going to be a close of your book. The story's going to shut down. So there's a responsibility. Here's what the psalmist said. Teach us to number our days with wisdom. Missionary said, I have only one life to live, and as soon as it will pass away, only what's done for Christ will last. I have one life to live, and soon it will pass. Only what I've done for Christ will last. My life is so brief. Your life is so brief. James is reminding us our life is brief. The Lord lived 33 and a half years, and they crucified him. He said that we were guaranteed 70. That's 70 years. I know some people that's way, Mama's way over that. But we have a responsibility to be faithful. You know what's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. No matter the position I hold, how big my purse is, no matter what everyone else has done, I have a responsibility as a steward of God to, I can't answer for nobody else. I've got to answer for myself. Every man's going to stand before God alone. It's required. We got to give an answer for what we've done in the body, good or bad. What we've said in secret, what we've thought in secret. One day our life, our thoughts, our sayings are going to be played like a video screen at the judgment seat. Because of the brevity of life, I've got to be faithful. I have a responsibility to be faithful. I have a responsibility to be fervent. Jeremiah said, hey man, when I wanted to quit, when I heard the defaming of others, when I saw the dismissal of others, he said, I felt that burning in my heart. I call it heavenly heartburn. He said, it was shut up in my bones. He said, I could not stay. John the Baptist was known. Jesus said of John the Baptist, there's not a greater woman, a man born a woman and man than John the Baptist. And you know what Jesus said? He was a burning and a shining light. He wasn't just shining. You get close and feel the heat off of it. He wasn't just giving light. He was a burning and a shining light. God, help us to be faithful. We have a responsibility. God, help us to be fervent. He said, I would you were not cold or hot. Cause you're lukewarm, I'll spew you from my mouth. I have a responsibility to be fervent, to be faithful, to be forgiven. You know what Paul said in Ephesians 4:32? He said, be ye kind, tender-hearted one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ's sake have forgiven you. I'll tell you what, has God forgiven you? They's husband and wife that had to get a divorce because they didn't have no more forgiveness than the devil. If we've got forgiveness like Christ, we're going to forgive one another. I have a responsibility to be forgiven. Life is brief, and it's way too brief to waste it on bitterness. Is anyone in here bitter, hurt because somebody hurt you? Amen. Listen, who in here ain't been hurt? Anybody in here that ain't been hurt, lift your hand. Everybody see that? Everybody's been hurt. So we all in the same boat. I don't want to focus on the negative. I'm not going to focus on being bitter at everybody that's wronged me. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let God handle it. Somebody ought to say amen. He's big enough he can handle it and not be bitter about it. There's enough people cause hurt, preachers and pews. They've caused hardships. They've caused harm. Amen. Help us, Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We love not because we, hey man, do we love him? Do we love him? If you love him, how can a man say that I love God and hated his brother? Hey man, you love God whom you haven't seen, but yet hate your brother whom you have seen. He said it's not possible. He said, if you love God, you're going to have to love people. He said, they ain't lovable. Well, you wouldn't either, but God loved you. Say amen. I've got a responsibility to be forgiven. So there is the reality. Life is temporary. There's going to be temptations. Thank God for a transformed character. But there is relief from the brevity of life. I was driving real close to a bumper, reading what I was doing. It had stickers everywhere. And one of the stickers says, if you can read this, you too blank close. I laughed. I said, well, you're right, and I backed up a little bit. But if we really want to be able to read the truth, we got to get close to him. He ain't never going to scold us for being too close. John laid his head on his breast. God help us. Listen, cheer up. You say, preacher, this life's terrible. Cheer up, you're going to be dead soon. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's something to cheer up about. Amen. One day you're going to be in a place where there is no sorrow and no sadness. To be absent, through the clouds or through the clouds, there's going to be a celebration. We're going to be with him forever. So this life is not permanent. Hallelujah. Thank God we're getting out of here. We're citizens of another country. Hey, man, we're going out in the rapture. He's going to take place. Panic's going to sue on this earth. But we're going to be in the party in glory. Somebody help me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know what he said? He said, when you put the sufferings I've endured on this earth, the persecution, the lies, all the stuff that we've had to do, everything negative, and then put on the other side of the balance all the glory we're going to get to enjoy in heaven, he said, it don't even compare. The glory. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. One blessed day. Hey, man, what a joy. It's real. So there's a transformed character, a temporary continuance. He said here, vanisheth away. But thank God, lastly, there's a thrilling conclusion. Hey, one day it vanisheth away. One day it's all going to be over. We're going to be in a perfect place with a perfect people, with a perfect praise, worshiping the perfect potentate. Amen. All the things we wish we did. Enoch walked with God and was not. One day we're going to be a was not. I preached it in a funeral one day. I never will be an astronaut, but I one day will be a was not. An astronaut talks to Houston, I'm in touch with heaven. Amen. An astronaut walked on the moon, but I'm going to get to walk with the sun. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the astronaut went on a rocket ship, and I'm going in fellowship. Hallelujah. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, forever we shall be with the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. One day we'll go to a city. Thank God whose builder and maker's God. Hallelujah. We'll walk down the Hallelujah Boulevard and walk on the streets of gold and see him who died for us, him high and lifted up. There'll be no sun or moon, amen, or no stars, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the foundation of the city will be, amen, all manner of stones, 12 stones, and every gate's going to be one big pearl, and the gates are going to be up open all day because there is no night there. Won't that be a time, church? It's a reality, glory to God. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to have a glory-filled bounty. We're going to get to hang around glory-bound brethren. You say, preacher, I ain't comfortable being around the folks that love Jesus. Boy, I'd sure get that fixed today. Because I want to ask you a question. What is your life? Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Somebody right here may not make it home. Somebody right here might not make it to school. Somebody right here may not make it to work. Say, preacher, that won't happen. Well, I can tell you right now, of instance I know, chamfered truck, got sleepy, killed a man instantly. I got this little alert that comes on, tells me every time something happens. A young girl had two babies. She's in the National Guard, working as a sheriff's deputy, and out west, pulled over a car for speeding, 20 miles over the speed limit. Drunk guy coming home from the party the night before. Hit her car while she was running his tag. Killed her instantly. She's a good girl, just doing her job, taking care of her children. Nobody here knows how many days we have. What is your life? One day, the book's going to close. What's going to be said? What's your husband going to remember? What's your wife going to remember? What's your kids going to remember? What's going to be said about your life? Transformed character. Temporary continuance. Face temptation, but come out triumph. And one blessed day, amen, they had a thrilling conclusion. I'm going to see Papa Willard Hill, no doubt in my mind. He's still shouting around. He probably elbowed everybody out from the feet of Jesus even right now. Because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 days here. Ain't that something? He ain't even been there a day yet. He ain't been there a few minutes. When I die and get there, he's going to say, man, I was wondering what took you so long. He ain't been gone. He ain't been gone in heaven time long at all. Boy, I'm telling you, it's real. It's right. James is saying to Christians, to believers, what is your life? What defines your life? What's your story? The reality is every single one of us are adding pages to our story. You ever read books that started out good? About halfway through, it's trash and you quit reading it, gave up on it? Or you read books and you're like, man, this thing ain't fit to read, and put it down. What is your life? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed.